We received a press release from the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs, which said, and I quote, "For decades, U.S. children, some as young as 10 years old, have been working in the fields with grave consequences for their health, education, and personal development. This thought leads us to ask, should children work on farms?"
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 635th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Elias Caius who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hey, y'all.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello, everyone.
And Parmley Taff is out today. Folks, I drove my first tractor at the age of 6, and it was a working tractor. Grandfather Carl set me up atop of the big machine, put it in gear, and told me to run it straight down the row. After walking alongside the slow-moving tractor for a while, he said, "I'll meet you at the end of the field." Then he was off, leaving me in command of that slow-moving diesel-belting tractor. Was I frightened? Sure enough at least to pee my pants, but I held on, and I made it to the other end of the field, where Grandfather climbed back aboard and turned the tractor around for another pass across the field. By the end of the day, I was a confident tractor driver, though not yet tall enough to reach the brake or clutch pedals. I frequently look back on that day and wonder, did Grandfather Carl really need my help, or was he simply helping me grow up really fast? As an adult, I am comfortable commanding almost any kind of machine, including airplanes in heavy weather and boats on heavy seas. I believe that day on the farm with Grandfather Carl walking alongside the tractor had much to do with my ability to manage the machines of adulthood. There were, of course, many other chores that needed to be done on the farm. I did them and I learned from them, and I grew up with them. The days of my youth on Grandfather Carl's farm came to mind when I received a press release from the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs questioning the efficacy of child farm labor and giving me cause to pause and ask, should children work on farms? And here to help us answer that question today, we have David Strauss, who's the executive director of the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs. Welcome to the Food Chain, David.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, you're on the road someplace, right?
Yes, I'm in the mountains of Tennessee, of East Tennessee.
I'll bet that's
stuck in traffic, so it's okay.
I'll bet that's pretty down there, huh?
It is gorgeous. It is.
This time of year. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs. It sounds like an association of associations.
Well, it's not. It's an association of nonprofit organizations, 52 strong, all across the country from wherever farm workers are, from Hawaii to Puerto Rico, Florida, Maine, and California, everywhere in between. And these organizations do a lot of work with farm workers, but their main task that keeps them in our association is that they provide job training services for eligible migrant and seasonal farm workers and help them get a better career.
Mm-hmm. So you're working with on a major initiative in California, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas, funded by a $1.4 million grant from the Kellogg Foundation to do what?
Well, it's aimed at a couple of things. One, doing some research out in the fields in those states to see what the incidence of child labor is, and it's also to raise public awareness about the situation that exists in this country that very few people are aware of. The fact is that a lot of children work in the fields to help out their parents, get a little more money brought in. Blueberry fields of North Carolina, the onion fields of Texas, all over the place, cherry orchards in Washington, cherry orchards in Michigan, and I think most people are not aware that this is happening. The idyllic story that you
told about your own... what is happening, David?
Well,
what is it that you're concerned about here?
We're concerned that these children really don't belong out there. agriculture, you know, is the most dangerous place in the country for children.
Yeah.
And there are pesticides, dangerous pesticides.
And for adults, too, come to think
for
of
adults,
it.
For adults, too, Ed, yeah. Absolutely. But we have programs. Adults can make a choice, and we have programs to help train them in protecting themselves against the dangers of pesticides, mm-hmm. heat stress, and so forth. And there really, really is no equivalent for kids. They just don't need to be in that kind of danger. And so right now, as we're speaking, thousands of families are packing up in South Texas and in Florida and heading north. And they're going to work all summer into November in various crops in various states. And their kids are going to be exposed. And what's particularly difficult for us to feel good about is that federal law actually allows kids at younger ages and under worse conditions to work in the fields than any other profession in America. So, for example, a 13-and-a-half-year-old kid couldn't work in my nice air-conditioned office and get paid to Xerox and answer the phone and so forth. That would be illegal. I would face all kinds of fines for that. Mm-hmm. But a 13-and-a-half-year-old kid can work 80, 90 hours a week all summer, 10 hours a day during the fall when they're back home and school is on, as long as they're not working during school hours, unlimited time, as young as 12 years old. As young as 12 years old, and even in some cases, we find kids younger than that working out in the fields.
Well,
and we don't think it's right, and, you know, we just wonder if these weren't Latino children, if America would really, really put up with this, because it's this disparity in law just needs to change.
Well, you know, I guess speaking from firsthand experience and looking back to my childhood on a farm, I guess my grandfather probably would have been thrown in jail for child endangerment or child cruelty or something because, you know, I worked from the very get-go. As early as I can remember, there were always chores and you were always working. And
this was on his farm, Michael? Was that his farm?
Right.
No, he wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been thrown in jail or anything. He wouldn't today. Children of farmers can work at any age under any conditions.
Okay, so there's we should make a distinction here then between farmers and farm workers, right? I mean, at one time, the nation consisted mostly of farmers.
Yes.
Today, there are very, very few farmers and mostly farm workers, right?
Correct. Yeah, we think there are about 2 to 2.5 million people that earn their living in farm work, working for other people, not for themselves, mm-hmm. Working on farms. And a lot of them have families that travel with them, or even if they're not traveling, they have their kids working with them. And we're not saying there's anything wrong with farm work. There isn't. You know, somebody has to do it. And as you say, a lot of people learned at their grandfather's knee or their father's knee about hard work and the meaning of it.
I was actually thinking that we should pass a law making children work on farms.
Well, there are probably some people that would want to do that, but that might not be the best idea.
Uh-huh.
No, we think that the work ought to be regulated just like all other work. There's nothing, in fact, in some cases, some ways, it ought to be regulated more. But in any event, we would settle for an equal treatment of these kids, and right now they're not being treated mm-hmm. equally. And the pressures on them to work by the poverty of their families is pretty intense. This is not an experience like you did where your grandfather wanted to see whether you could handle a tractor at a young
right.
age. This is survival.
Well, let's talk about the difference then between the children of farmers and the children of farm workers.
Sure.
You know, if you're a child of a farmer, that's what you do all the time. You're always working. There's
sure.
always chores to do, or there were always chores to do.
There were, yes.
I suspect that some farmers today have children that don't work in the fields at all. But at least when I was raised on a farm, you know, that there were always chores, always. Never-ending work, you know.
Right.
Now, there's a difference then between the farmer who owns that land and owns that farm and owns that business and a farm worker who's coming on to somebody else's property. What's the difference then between the children of the farmer and the children of the farm worker?
Well, as I indicated, I think one of the main differences is choice. I mean, the farmer is making a choice for his kids to, as I would assume, to help them move towards becoming a successor to him or her,
mm-hmm.
to taking over the farm and learning the skills needed to do that. In the case of hired farm workers, this is pure survival for their family. they're earning unbelievably low wages in farm work. I think most people would be stunned to learn. I mean, the median wage for a farm worker family from all sources of income is about $15,000 to $16,000 a year. And you're not going to survive too well on that. So the pressure to have the kids work and work as many hours as possible is very intense. And I'm not exaggerating when I say
I think that was true.
Yeah.
I think that was true on my grandparents' farm as well. You know, I mean, I think the principal crop was really people. And that's how you kept things going, is with people. Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. Today we're asking, should children be allowed to work on farms? And we're looking at the children of farmers, and we're looking at the children of farm workers, and we're trying to figure out if there's a difference and whether they should be treated differently under the law. And when we get back, we're going to talk about how the law treats the children of farm workers and farmers. What do you think out there? Should children work on farms? 831-479-1080, 800-624-2665. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, what do you think out there? Should children work on farms? I sometimes think that all children should be made to work on farms just because they could learn a little bit about what it means to work, to get things done, to keep things going. But others seem to think that, well, maybe children are being exploited on the farms. And the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs is one of those organizations, headed by David Strauss, who's the executive director. And David is calling in today from the hills of Tennessee, which must be really beautiful. David, we're talking a little bit about you know, the difference between farm workers, the children of farm workers, and the children of farmers. How does the law treat child labor on farms? How does that differ from the way it treats child labor elsewhere? You mentioned a little bit about how children could not work in an air-conditioned office at the age of 13, but they could go out in the fields and work all day, and the law wouldn't. Is there a big difference there?
Well, yeah, the Fair Labor Standards Act, which was passed in 1938, governs adult and child conditions of labor in mm-hmm. this country. And in 1938, it established certain regulations but exempted agriculture from those regulations. And that continued with some amendments that brought in some protections over the years. But as we speak today, the law still makes a distinction between agriculture and the rest of society for adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
And some say it goes back to the idyllic vision of the family farm and not wanting to regulate it. But the truth is, in 1938, the relevant committees of Congress were controlled by southern plantation owners, who decided if there was going to be labor regulation, that was okay as long as their workers were not regulated. And so they passed the law under those conditions, and the remnants of it are with us today. And so the impact is, and that law, to the extent it regulated child labor at all, or to the extent it does today in agriculture, does exempt the family farm. So mm-hmm. children of farmers are not regulated at all. And as you say, that means at age six, somebody... We don't recommend this, but it is legal for a six-year-old to drive a tractor. And to be honest, I have to say, a large percentage of the accidents on farms to children are in family farms. But nobody's proposing to regulate that. We're talking about hired farm workers because those kids are workers at the point that they're working on the farm. They're not farmers to be or anything else. They're workers.
Okay, so what you're suggesting then is that there be a law essentially prohibiting the children of farm workers from working in the fields.
We're saying that the law simply needs to be equalized so that those children are protected the same way as my children, your children, and everybody else's. That's all. We're not saying you should never work on a farm. It's just if they're going to do so, it's under the same protections that everybody else works, whether it's in an office, at McDonald's, or on a farm.
Okay.
And that means that they wouldn't start till age 14 at the earliest, and that during school, they can work a maximum of 3 hours a day while school's in session, mm-hmm. and a maximum of 40 hours a week during the summer. Farm worker children are exempt from those coverages, which means they can work. I've talked to kids that work till midnight on a school day in the fields, or work 70, 80 hours or more, 7 days a week during the summer. We just don't think that's appropriate. If it were appropriate, why isn't everybody else working those hours in much, much safer conditions? So we just think it ought to be equalized.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Folks, what do you think out there? Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Should children work on farms? Let's go to Tom. Tom, welcome to the Food Chain. Good to hear you.
Hey, first time I'm listening to your program. Very interesting. You know, as much as I respect your guest, and I understand he has certain opinions about things, I think another view should be offered to your audience that children that are working in farms, whether they're picking lettuce or berries, for instance, like Abel Maldonado, he was actually raised picking berries as a farm worker, not as a farmer's son, as a farm worker. He eventually became a farmer when his father was able to improve his circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is this: the law should not interfere with families' decision to live the way they want to live. If they want to improve their lives, then it takes a 13-year-old or a 15-year-old to work alongside their parents, as long as they're paid the same as the adults, there should be no interference by government laws.
David?
That's my opinion.
Okay, Tom, let's see what David has to say. David?
Well, that's certainly a respectable opinion, but the laws of this country say differently, and that's all I'm saying. The laws say different for every profession, every occupation except one. So I couldn't have, when my son was 13, I was very proud of him. I'm sure he could have done all kinds of things in my office. That was illegal. I couldn't do that. I couldn't bring him in at 13 and a half and do that, or bring him in at 14 to work 10 hours a day. I don't see what the difference is. Even though he points out to somebody who was successful, and that's true. A lot of people are able to be successful. But let me tell you about the rest. The majority of farm worker kids leave school long before graduation. Over 65% of them drop out of school and never return. And you know what that does for somebody who's already in a low-wage environment? For most of those kids, they're doomed to repeat the cycle of poverty their parents have. They're not going to get good jobs. They're not going to be owning farms. They're not going to be on radio programs. They're going to be out there working in extremely low-wage jobs, unemployed a lot of the time. So I don't think, you know, I understand what he's saying, and there is value in work. There is tremendous value in working in agriculture. And we're not against that. We just say at the appropriate ages and under the appropriate conditions. And right now, neither of those exist.
Tom?
No, I'm not denying that. I'm saying that the decision should be up to the families themselves, not government.
Well, that just isn't true in the society. The laws, the regulatory laws, don't permit parents to do certain things.
Well, wait a minute. They do for farmers, but not for farm workers. Isn't that what you're saying?
All, you know, a lot of family businesses, if it's a family business where the law does respect the ability of a family to help their children take over the family business and work in it. That's not only farming. It's mm-hmm. a lot of other things. We're talking about hired workers outside of the family. So I just don't see the distinction between, you know, sure, the family ought to be sacred in all kinds of ways, but once you're in society and working in for wages in society, you're subject to all kinds of regulations, and appropriately so. We decided over 100 years ago in the society that children shouldn't be working on looms on the Lower East Side of New York in sweatshops. I'm sure many of those families felt their kids needed to be there to help with the income. I'm sure they could point to examples of kids who survived it and survived well. But as a society, we realized that a majority of those kids were being harmed, and that's our responsibility to protect children.
Okay, we lost our caller there who fell off of his cell phone, but
okay.
We'll pick up Paul. Paul, welcome to the Food Chain, folks. The phone number is today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain with Michael Olson, and we have David Strauss with us today, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Paul, welcome to the Food Chain.
Welcome, gentlemen. This is an interesting topic, but, you know, I listened to your guest, and he's using a little bit of doublespeak because, on one hand, it's legal for the parents right now to allow their kids to work in the fields with them. So what he's doing is he's taking exception to that because they can do it in the fields, but he can't use his son in the office, and he feels that that's not a benefit to him and his family. However, if these children weren't working next to their parents in the field, they would have to use child care. It would take money away from their already insignificant or very poverty income. These families do it by choice. There's nobody that forces them to go ahead and do it. These are decisions that the family makes and the kids make to be out there on the field. And yes, a lot of these people do not graduate high school only because sometimes what they have to do is work as a family unit. And what they need is income coming into the home to be able to pay for those exorbitant rents, the expenses of having a family, those things like having insurance.
Okay, Paul, we're going to have to take a quick break. Can you hold on for a minute here so we can get an answer from you, from David? Thank you very much, folks. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We are talking about child farm labor. Should children work on farms? We have David Strauss with us today, Executive Director of the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us. This is the Food Chain. Should children work on farms? Folks, I think one of the great tragedies of the industrialization of our agriculture is that we've taken people off the farm and replaced them with machines and chemicals and money. And as a consequence, our children grow up outside of agriculture and miss out on all of those opportunities to learn how to work and how to solve problems and how to get things done and the importance of holding things together, and instead they hang around in street corners with hooded sweatshirts and play video games. And I just, you know, think that we really have a loss there. And so when I ran across this memo, this press release that said for decades, U.S. children, some as young as 10 years old, have been working in the fields with grave consequences for their health, education, and personal development. I said, well, wait a minute. So we contacted the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs and asked the executive director, David Strauss, to join us to talk about whether children should be working on farms. And I think, of course, David, you're talking about probably a different aspect of child farm labor than I was thinking about when I first read your press release. You're probably talking about the exploitation of children, but who is exploiting children?
Well, that's a good question, Michael. I don't think I talked about exploitation in that memo, but that's sort of
it seems to be the drift of what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're right. That's sort of an aspect of it. It's a complicated answer. There's no single villain out there. In fact, probably the best thing to do that we all need to do is just look in the mirror and we'll find the problem. Because the real, real problem that's generating all of this for these boys and girls that are working out there is the poverty of their parents. And what's generating that poverty is the incredibly low wages that they're paid in the fields. And it's partly us because we demand rock-bottom prices for
cheap food
and refuse to pay anymore. And you probably have noticed that we have one of the lowest percentages, if not the lowest in the world, of our dollar going to buy food.
Well, I don't really believe that because I believe most of the cost of our food is hidden in other places, you know, and you probably while looking at farm labor, you're probably aware that we pay a lot of the cost of farm labor off the books, you know, on unemployment and all kinds of other things.
No, we don't, because in most states, farm workers aren't entitled to unemployment, and some states are not even entitled to workers' compensation. There's not a lot of a lot of costs going into farm labor, despite the fact that a lot of farmers feel that that's the only real controllable cost they have. And to some extent, that's true. They can't control the cost of fertilizer and feed and so forth and taxes, but they can control the farm labor. And unfortunately, that winds up making it an incredibly low wage, if not the lowest.
So then the people who are doing the exploiting are the people that are eating the cheap food.
Well,
they'd be pretty close
to some extent. But I, you know, it's a problem everywhere. When I was a kid, you know, there were a lot of professions that were really, really low paid. But now it's fine. You know, people that pick up the municipal garbage are making pretty good money. People that are driving trucks that are making good money. I don't see any reason why farm labor has to be not as unskilled as people think. There's often quite a bit of skill involved in it. So I think there's a potential for not needing kids to work in the field if their parents are getting decent enough money. I've never met, in response to the last caller, I've never met a farm worker who was thrilled to have their kids working in the fields. I've talked to many, and they say, I just want my kids to do better than I did. But they're not sure how to do it because they need money. They know their kids ought to graduate high school. They know they're in trouble if they don't. But they don't feel they've got a choice right now. And we need to help them in all kinds of ways. We work as an association to help policies get enacted that will help increase their wages. But in the meantime, their kids need to be protected. And that's what this is all about. That's what this campaign is all about.
Fair enough. Paul, did he answer your question?
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is that, you know, I mean, I do feel that, like I said, like at my beginning point was, is that he felt that it was unfair for his son to not be able to work in an office, but yet, you know, if these farm workers had to have child care so they could work, it only cost them more money being able to have their children out there working alongside them and making the equal amount of money.
There you go.
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, let me speak to that. I was not upset that my son couldn't work in the office at 13 and a half. That was just an example of the disparity. I was glad that there are laws protecting him from working at. We made a decision as a society that below age 14, kids shouldn't be working. Their job is to be in school and to get an education. That's their job. And as far as the child care, it is an issue. He's raising a point about what's going to happen if the kids aren't there in the fields. And what's going to happen is there is a migrant and seasonal Head Start program in this country, and it's a good one, and it needs to spread to more and more places so more and more of the kids can be taken care of while their parents are in the fields. And that's a very appropriate use of that kind of program. It's staffed by professionals that help the kids with their development and preparing for school. Being out in the fields doesn't prepare them for anything except to help.
Well, I disagree with you there. I think being out in the field probably was the best school I ever went to. And
yeah, but you went under different conditions, Michael.
I didn't quite buy that because I had to go. I had to go out and work. I mean, Grandpa said, "Get your ass out there, kid, and work." And that was the law. I mean, it was, I guess, you know, and there's some pretty tough conditions that I had to work in. I had to hoe beets and had to hoe beans and had to, you know, I had to get up very early in the cold blizzards and milk the cows, and you had to do those things, and they were tough.
And it wasn't indentured servitude.
I'm glad you made it okay. Some of the kids don't make it. I'm glad you did, but some of the kids don't. We've talked to a lot of kids that have gotten serious cuts, serious injuries from pesticides. I'm glad you made it, but not everybody does. And I'm glad you've been very successful, and I've met some farm worker kids that are successful.
Well, you know,
the data doesn't lie, and the kids, by and large, are not being successful.
Yeah, I was just
and
reading
a... The other thing, Michael, you didn't do is you didn't migrate, did you, from state to state to find work?
No.
No, but my wife's family did.
Let's let Paul have a shot here. Go ahead, Paul, finish up.
No, but my wife's family did. They did Arizona, they did Kansas. They went to where the fields were. And now, granted, this was a few years back. It was in the 70s. But they were a poor white family, couldn't afford a home. So they went from farm to farm. All six kids were out there in the field picking strawberries or whatever the crop happened to be. It was the only way that they could survive while they were living out of their station wagon. But the whole thing is that when you take that away from people, now you also have to understand that also the laws change from state to state, and in most cases, even from county to county. But, you know, at least even though they were poor, they were willing to work. They were willing to produce. They weren't on the dole. They weren't looking for a free handout. They were doing any ways they could to be able to survive, as well as pay their bills and do the best they could for their family under those types of conditions. By restricting it even further, what are these people going to do? Be on welfare?
Okay,
that's
Paul.
That's really productive. That's not educational, and it's certainly not teaching a kid or even the adults a good work ethic.
Thank you very much for the call, Paul. Really appreciate it. When we come back, Carl and Doreen, and you, 800-624-2665-831-479-1080. I am Michael Olson. This is The Food Chain. Today we're talking with David Strauss, Executive Director of the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs, who's got a major initiative funded by the Kellogg Foundation. He's going to work in California, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas, and he's going to be working with the children of farm worker families and trying to talk them out of the fields and into the classrooms. What do you think? Should children work on farms? 800-624-2665-831-479-1080. Right back. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. I'm Michael Olson. Today we're talking with David Strauss, Executive Director of the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs, who, at the funding of the Kellogg Foundation, is going to launch a major initiative in California, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas to, and I quote, combat the exploitation of U.S. farm worker children. How are you going to do that, David?
Well, a number of ways. One, through shows like yours. I appreciate you having me on.
Even though I argue with you a little bit?
That's fine. No, this is great. I think it's important to bring out as many of the issues as possible, which a lot of your callers are doing. And I really want to just say I honor that young man that just spoke about his family traveling throughout the Southwest. I think it is a noble, in some ways, noble and incredible life that we need to consistently honor. But at the same time we're honoring it, we need to realize that as far as the future of most farm worker children, it's grim. And what we need to do is not only shine a light on it, but increase programs that help those kids stay in school. We know what works, and for years and years we've neglected these kids in our public life. The programs that we operate touch about 2% of the farm worker population, and we need to increase that, help their parents get the skills they need, and we want to work with the agricultural industry to help them improve the skill level of their workers so that
well,
they can
in
help
the, in that
justify
regard,
paying a higher wage.
In that regard, we have a farmer on the line, Carl. So
right.
Here, let's put the two of you together and see if we can come to a meeting of minds. Carl, welcome to The Food Chain.
Oh, thank you for having me on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd just like to state that I wish your guest would actually look at the true history of farming and look at the historical aspect of kids on farms and stuff like that. And
well, he's on the line with you, so let him have it.
Yeah, he does not. Every time that somebody in his position thinks he's doing something wonderful and good, he ends up hurting the migrant farmer even more than they previously were hurt.
Well, how do you explain that one?
First of all, like, for years in California, even like especially like in strawberries and garlic and stuff like that, the kids, instead of having the kids stay home, the kids have come out and wanted to be with their parents, and the parents wanted to have their children present with them. And
when you talk, how old of children are you talking about?
Actually, I'm 53 years old myself,
mm-hmm.
and I've been a farmer. Grew up on I'm third generation farmer, and I watched the everything changed and the laws changed and regulations changed and stuff. And when years ago, when a farm worker could actually work more than 8 hours before overtime would start getting paid in, the farm worker actually had a chance to get ahead, because if he wanted to save for a new car or save for a house or something, he could actually go ahead and work 10, 11, 12 hours during the course of a day, like many of us growing up in farming have done. And we didn't all die, and they were able to save money and stuff. And contrary to popular belief, there is very, very, for especially us small farmers, there's very, very little profit margin in agriculture, and we can't afford to pay overtime to some of these workers. Where if they wanted to work at straight time and it be their choice whether they work straight time, we would be able to allow them to work, you know, a few extra hours and make a little extra money during the course of the day. But because of the regulations, after 8 hours, we have to, 8 to 10 hours, we have to shut down it because we can't afford the extra money to pay these
Well, let's ask David. David Carl, who is a farmer, suggests that the effort to do good is actually having some adverse consequences on the farm workers. How do you respond to that?
Well, I appreciate Carl's views, but I do work with a lot of migrant farm workers. I serve on a board of directors that has parents of migrant children on it, and not a single one of them has come up to me and said, you need to stop this, it's going to hurt us. They, whenever this has come up, they say, we understand, and we are doing our best to keep our kids out of the fields because we know they need to be in school. So, and every time we've asked for guidance on whether or not we're on the right track, the parents have told us we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. All I can say is the migrant workers that I know, they want to see their kids succeed, and they know if they're working in the fields under age 14, instead of being, especially the ones that migrate. Do you know what they go through when they migrate? They change schools over and over. You ask a kid of middle school age or high school age what it's like to change schools, and you watch their faces go dark.
Okay,
and tears
okay.
come up to their eyes. People talk about how wonderful it is for the family to be together in the fields, and there are good things about that. But the cost of that to the kids' futures is enormous. The data shows it. The interviews with the kids show it.
That's all we do.
I'm going to send you, Michael, I'm going to send you a video.
Just a sec, David. Let's let Carl finish here.
Explain to me how taking the children out of the field is going to keep the people are going to keep the parents from migrating.
It might not keep them from migrating, but they may, as a lot of parents do, make arrangements for their kids to stay back home at their home base and stay with an aunt or an uncle and go to school instead of having to migrate with them. If they're not going to be working in the fields at 13, there's no purpose in bringing that child with you. You may as well leave him with a relative.
Would you have left your children with a relative? No, you would take your children with you if your job moved to a different county.
If it meant them changing schools and dropping out of school, I certainly would have left them with my relatives. Yes,
okay, folks, you tuned into the Food Chain. We're talking agriculture, of course, and we're talking about whether children should be allowed to work in agriculture. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have David Strauss, who is the Executive Director of the Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs, and we have Carl, who is a farmer going at it hot and heavy, and we have you. We'd love to hear what you have to say. We have a few minutes left, so we can burn through the callers really quickly. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Doreen's up next, right back. Thank you very much. Welcome back, folks. The question of the day, should children be allowed to work on farms? We've got David Strauss with us, and we're going to go quickly to the phones and talk with Doreen. Doreen, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you, sir, for hanging in there. What do you have for David here?
Oh, I disagree with him. I grew up on farms, and I just want to express how wonderful it was for me and how it's with me today at 83. All the things I learned... I learned organic growing, composting, and all that. You have to go to college to learn that now. And I was milking a cow before school at 15 and after school, churning the butter, all those things, especially growing fresh food for the family.
But your parents were the farmers, weren't they?
Yes, but we moved a lot from farm to farm, and we learned different types of farming. And I just didn't want to go to school. I wanted to stay on that farm and do that farming.
Doreen, thank you for the wonderful comments. David, what about the children? Do they actually want to go to school, or would they rather be with their parents out in the fields working?
Well, they're torn. A lot of them do want to be with their parents whenever they can. That's why they go out there. They're proud to support them. But when you talk to them, they want to be in school. They want to be just like every other kid. They don't particularly... singled out as a migrant. They want to be just fitting in with everybody else, enjoying the same things everybody else does in school. They're often not able to. And I just want to close by saying that the things that we really want to see happen is we want to see the law on the federal level equalized so everybody's treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we'd like to see
Farm workers get paid in the same way as everybody else, which means after 8 hours and after a day and after 40 hours a week, they do get time and a half for overtime. And finally, we'd like to see programs that work to help kids stay in school. We'd like to see those programs expanded and wrapped around children of migrant and seasonal farm workers. So that's the kind of things we're supporting.
Okay, Bill, do you have any complaints with that?
Yes, I disagree with the guest. I mean, I work in Monterey County in agriculture, and I just want to quickly say that we follow the laws. We can't have kids out in the fields. The laws are very stringent with the chemicals and pesticides and all the other regulations that we have to follow. And we can't hire people that are under 18 unless they have the kids nowadays in high school, they have to have like a work permit or something like that to work. But I think the guest needs to go back to the original word migrant. Where do these people come from? Most of them are from Mexico, and they leave their families there, so they have to bring their children. And I don't want, as far as the education is concerned, I don't want people telling me, whether it's me and as a U.S. citizen, or I think a migrant worker, telling them how to raise their kids and what kind of education and what choices they make. This is the United States. We have choices. They come here freely because the economy is better than where they live in Mexico.
Bill, thank you very much for that comment. And one more quickly for Maria. Maria, thank you for tuning in.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead really quickly, hon.
Yeah, this is Maria. Coming from a job in the fields and working there for 14 years, my experience has always been, and as a single parent, as my husband passed away when my children were little, it's very difficult to teach a child the difference and the value of education if they have not been exposed to hard physical work.
Maria, I wish I could hold on to you forever, girl.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Out of time. David Strauss, how do we get in touch with you besides combing the hills of Tennessee?
You can get a hold of me normally through
AFOP.
Email at strauss@afop.org.
AFOP.org. Thanks, David, so much. Appreciate it. Out of time. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Remember, cheap food isn't.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.